very quickly hushed him. Mr. Horsefry, I suspect. Drumknot glanced at the paper in his hand.
Almost to the word, my lord.
It takes no great leap of the imagination, sighed Lord Vetinari. Dear Mr. Slant, he's so dependable. Sometimes I really think that if he was not already a zombie, it would be necessary to have him turned into one.
Shall I order a number one investigation on Mr. Gilt, my lord?
Good heavens, no. He is far too clever.
Order it on Mr. Horsefry.
Really, sir? But you did say yesterday that you believed him to be no more than a greedy fool.
A nervous fool, which is useful. He's a venal coward and a glutton. I've watched him sit down to a meal of pot au feu with white beans, and that was an impressive sight, Drumknot, which I will not easily forget. The sauce went everywhere. Those pink shirts he wears cost more than $100, too. Oh, he acquires other people's money in a safe and secret and not very clever way. Send Clark Bryan.
Bryan, sir? Said Drumknot. Are you sure? He's wonderful at devices, but quite inept on the street. He'll be seen.
Yes, Drumknot, I know. I would like Mr. Horsefry to become a little more nervous.
Ah, I see, sir.
Vetinari turned back to the window. Tell me, Drumknot, he said, would you say I'm a tyrant?
Most certainly not, my lord, said Drumknot, tidying the desk.
But of course, that's the problem, is it not? Who will tell the tyrant he is a tyrant?
That's a tricky one, my lord, certainly, said Drumknot, squaring up the files.
In his thoughts, which I have always considered fare badly in translation, Buffon says that intervening in order to prevent a murder is to curtail the freedom of the murderer, and yet that freedom, by definition, is natural and universal without condition, said Vetinari. You may recall his famous dictum, if any man is not free, then I too am a small pie made of chicken, which has led to a considerable amount of debate. Thus we might consider, for example, that taking a bottle from a man killing himself with drink is a charitable, nay, praiseworthy act, and yet freedom is curtailed once more. Mr. Gilt has studied his Buffon, but, I fear, failed to understand him. Freedom may be mankind's natural state, but so is sitting in a tree eating your dinner while it is still wriggling. On the other hand, Freidegger, in Modal Context It Is, claims that all freedom is limited, artificial, and therefore illusory, a shared hallucination at best. No sane mortal is truly free, because true freedom is so terrible that only the mad or the divine can face it with open eyes. It overwhelms the soul, very much like the state he elsewhere describes as von alles von kommen unverstandlich das daskeit. What position would you take here, Drumknot?
I've always thought, my lord, that what the world really needs are filing boxes which are not so flimsy, said Drumknot, after a moment's pause.
Hmm, said Lord Vetinari. A point to think about, certainly.
He stopped. On the carven decorations over the room's fireplace, a small cherub began to turn with a faint squeaking noise.
Vetinari raised an eyebrow at Drumknot.
I shall have a word with Clark Bryan immediately, my lord, said the clerk.
Good. Tell him it's time he got out into the fresh air more.
Chapter 4. A Sign. Dark Clerks and Dead Postmasters. A Werewolf in the Watch. The Wonderful Pin. Mr. Lipwig reads letters that are not there. Hugo the Hairdresser is surprised. Mr. Parker buys fripperies. The Nature of Social Untruths. Princess in the Tower. A man is not dead while his name is still spoken.
Now then, Mr. Lipwig, what good will violence do?
Mr. Pump rumbled. He rocked on his huge feet as Moist struggled in his grip. Groat and Stanley were huddled at the far end of the locker room,
One of Mr. Groat's natural remedies was bubbling over onto the floor, where the boards were staining purple.